everyone. Welcome to Falcon Cast. I'm Matt Moore, next to the well-rested Jay Adams, and...
You have no idea who I am right now. Look at you. You're like, I'm with this guy over
What's
here.
What's great is we're taping this on April Fool's Day, yet you look like you're going to a Cinco de Mayo party.
I'm all about
El Azteca down the street.
I'm all about bringing everything together on April Fool's Day. Hey, whatever it's about, I'm about it.
And let me say this. Welcome to our Periscope watchers out there, as well as people on the AtlantaFalcons.com app. Hey, FalconCast. You know what? We're on a streak since we added Shock.
Digital.
Since we've added Shock,
I don't even know what that means.
We continue to do bigger and better things, don't we?
Trajectory.
You guys are very kind. I don't really think I have much to do with it. You know, I think the people really love watching Jay's forearms be really big.
I'm just glad that you guys let me come back after last week. The reaction to Morgan filling in,
Jay,
for
very
me
true.
Was,
can I say
the
something?
Guys, gigantic.
Yeah. Hey, I guess Shock, you and me are not cute. Because all
we're
I got was, oh,
no,
look how good Morgan looked on the
not,
set last
week. We're not
week.
Very appealing to the eye, I guess. But yeah. Morgan was very appealing to the eye. The guys were watching the show. They didn't say nothing about what we said. They just said.
Morgan has an amazing cult following. It's
the
awesome.
The only person who has ever commented on anything between the three of us had called you Aladdin for your
right. Right. We get talked about for our clothing. The guy wanted you to wear a kilt and wanted you to wear my vest again, called me Aladdin. They just said Morgan looks awesome.
Yeah. So when are you putting the vest back on? I've been asked that.
The vest.
People want the vest back.
I can bring the vest back.
Hey, the all vest of us are come wearing back. Vest one day.
I don't own a vest, so
the vest could come.
we're gonna have you fit into one of his vests.
Bad idea.
I'm sure he's got multiple vests.
So good idea that was produced by Jay and our producer Brian Bosek. We thought we'd kind of go into a little of we'll call it the life of Matt Ryan, and I think it's a cool topic. We can, Shock, you have been in meeting rooms, in locker rooms, on team planes with Mr. Matt Ryan. And, Jay and I have been around him. One of my favorite stories is that, his first day here for 2 days, I took him out in Atlanta. Like, we did this whole video shoot, meet Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan meets Atlanta. We went to the zoo. We went to, World of Coke, the aquarium. And it was really cool. And from that moment, he has not changed a bit from in my eyes. He was still just a genuinely great person. And so it'll be fun to kind of get into that with you, Shock. I think we'll pick your brain a little bit and get in depth on just what kind of quarterback the Falcons have here.
The Falcons have – I've been around a couple guys throughout my time. Not just college, but pro. I've seen how guys interact. I remember there was a trip that me, Matt, and when Red Ball was here, Chris Redman was here, we went to Vegas one time, and we got to, we was hanging out with Aaron Rodgers and a couple guys, and you get to meet a couple guys, and you feel them out. But just being around Matt and understanding what he is about and how hard he works and how great he wants to be. But the best thing about Matt is he wants everybody around him to be great. And you see some guys who are selfishly about themselves. It's hard to say that in the league, but some guys are all about just getting the money, or guys about stats, or guys about making a big name for themselves. And this guy is a total opposite. He is what you want in a franchise guy. And you guys have worked with him just as close as I have, and you know exactly the person he is. And the biggest thing is how he interacts, not just on the field, but how he interacts away from the field as well. And that's something that I think he doesn't get as much credit for as, how he is in the community, the things he does on a daily basis outside of the field and to other people with kids and the community. And you talked about how, when he first got here, he was all over the place, meeting people and greeting people, and being the face of a franchise is a lot.
And Jay, Jay, you've seen that where, we go to a Shop with the Jock event and, everyone wants to be around him. He's QB1. He's the face of this city, this franchise. And, that can – I get uncomfortable around that. Oh, my gosh, how does he not get tired? He's got to get out of here. He's like, no, he's fine. Handles it like a pro. It's pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be an intimidating thing. But I guess, you know, when you're a quarterback, I guess you got to – it comes with the territory. You
absolutely. Know, and now Shock still gets mobbed at these things because, you know, he's the Georgia and Falcons.
Well, we joke about it. We want to get Shock on our softball team. And we were saying, like, during the game, he's going to be taking pictures at second base, you know.
We already have Brian Finneran, and we'll have people come up to the fence and be like, hey, man. Is that Brian Finneran? But
how'd you guys get Brian Finneran?
I said if we get Shock, it's gonna be like, oh my God, DJ Shockley's on their team.
Guys, you guys.
Well, one thing I want to go back to the very beginning because I am interested in knowing that first time that Matt walks into the QB room after being drafted. I mean, I would think that your first day in the NFL or your first real day of work has got to be a lot like the first day of school.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I think as a quarterback, and especially as a guy who's drafted as high as he was, you've got to walk in there like you're the man because you kind of are. I mean, what were your first impressions of him, and how did he handle that intimidating situation?
You know, it's kind of the opposite of what you may think. You think he's coming in and he was drafted number 3 overall. You think the first thing you come in, you just feel like, he walks in like, oh, yeah, I am the guy. And I'm getting paid $70 million, so I know I'm going to be starting. And it was the total opposite. And he walked in. He was like, hey, dude, what's up? How you doing? I'm Matt Ryan. And, yeah, we know who he is. And it's just like you could tell already he has that humbleness about him. And the fact that, you know, he came in and introduced himself and he didn't, you know, he didn't try to be bigger than what everybody probably expected him to be. He was just one of the guys. And you knew then – that it's a guy you want to be around. You want to be a teammate of him. He's a guy that you really enjoy probably playing with. And from day one, you knew he had that leadership capability about him. And you knew when he walked in a room that, you know, he didn't have to say he was the guy. He is a guy. And a lot of guys don't have that. You see a lot of guys who get drafted early playing his position, and they can't handle it because of everything that comes with it. You know, all the people coming from different ways, trying to interview him, trying to talk this. You got veterans in there. I mean, I remember when Mud Duck, you know, when we first got onto the field and Mud Duck been here 7-8 years, whatever, he's calling all the shots and Matt comes and steps into the huddle and you do automatically, okay, he's going to be the guy. And you just have that aura about him and he has that kind of demeanor that it's kind of infectious, man. Guys want to play with him. Guys want to be around him. And I think that's why he's been so successful already. Even with the last 2 seasons, the record hasn't showed it, but I think statistically, he has been in the top 10 statistically with all, you know, all the top quarterbacks in the league. And that just shows on a weekly basis what he does. And I remember every week we had a set plan of how we would watch film. We had a set plan on what days we were going to watch certain things.
And Shaq, he was here on his day off, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just about every day I see him on Tuesday. We were here.
Tuesday we were here. I mean, that was part of the plan. Like, you know, we started – you know, you made a start with first down on Monday. Second on Tuesday, it might have been we're working second and medium. And Wednesday, it was third and, you know, medium. Thursday, Friday, it was red zone. I mean, we had a set plan every single day. So Monday through Sunday, we were working. And a lot of people think that guys just show up on Sunday, they have the athleticism. But the guys who put the work in are the guys who really are successful. And that's what we did. Every single day, we sat in that film room for a couple hours, and we broke down every single thing. And it wasn't just – it was one point where it was just the quarterbacks. And then he got the receivers involved, and they had to come in. Guys bringing in biscuits. Guys, I mean, just things that make it fun. We in there playing hangman. I mean, things like that just made it fun to be around. And it wasn't like, okay, Matt's in the meeting, and he's running the whole meeting. He's talking the whole time. He's – hey, Roddy, what do you think? Shock, what do you see right here? You know, what do you think is going to work best? It was those things that got everybody involved, so it didn't feel like – and at the time, I was the third string guy. So I was like, you know, why would – you know, the franchise guy care about what I see? But at the end of the day, he knew I had some knowledge. He knew I knew exactly how to play the position just as much as he did. I was the reason – you know, I was here as well. So he understood this guy can help me be better. And – he understands that about a lot of guys, and he understands that's why he can be successful.
That's awesome. And so how does that go from the film room to practice?
Oh, it makes it so much easier because when you can hear guys say it, you hear all the time guys say you got to speak the same language. And coaches say it all the time. And I remember when we would have our offensive meeting in camp and – Coach Mularkey would call the QBs up. Matt would go up first, obviously, and he'd say, all right, I want you to call a play, and then I want you to come out the huddle, and I want you to go through the cadence, and then tell everybody what they got to do. And you knew from the beginning, You come to the line, you come up, and he say it, and he bark it out, and you knew, okay, he knows what's going on. And then when you have those memes, and then you go onto the field, and you're speaking the same language, you say, hey, you remember we was watching the Green Bay tape, and I talking about going this way, going that way, and the guy said, yeah, I understand that now. And next time you do it, you have it. So you have that rapport, and that's where it comes from in camp, and you get into the season, and it's a routine. It's something that you don't even think about, and that's what how you can translate it from going from the film room onto the field, and then on Sundays when it really matters.
One topic I want to get into with you is this idea of the constant change that Matt has kind of undergone through his career, from QB coaches to offensive systems. There's been a lot of differences that he's had to try to navigate his way through. Now this is the first time that he's dealing with a brand new head coach, which obviously comes with a brand new offense as well. His adaptability, what have you taken from being around him that leads you to believe that he can be successful once again in another change?
You know, even though the Falcons brought in a new head coach, new offensive system, when I talked to him, he said, listen, he has some input. And when you have a guy who's been around that long, who's been so successful, I remember we were talking and he said, listen, I told him I just want to be able to keep my 2 minutes the same. I want to be able to keep our no huddle the same, because that's going to help me have some familiarity when I want to go fast or when I want to change the tempo. And that's what people like to do. That's what people like to see. And he has that kind of input to be able to go and say, hey, this is what I like to do, and it's only going to help me. And at the end of the day, he knows Shanahan is coming from somewhere where he's been successful doing some things as well. So he's going to bring that him, and then they can come together and say, all right, here's what's going to make us better. Here's what I understand. Here's what I'm comfortable with. And I think he has that moxie enough. He has that confidence, and he has the ability where he's done it so many years that he can say that. And it's not just like a rookie quarterback can come in here and say that, but he's had that kind of instance where I can say, I've been a part of this. This is what I like to do. I know you got some things you like to do, and he can adapt to it. But a guy like Matt, who has so much skill, who is so smart upstairs, adapting won't be a big thing. I remember my rookie year, I'm coming from Georgia, and we had a West Coast system, and we had probably about 12 words in the play. And I'm like, this is crazy. But Matt Schaub had been in it for a while, and Knapp would just give him a play, and he knew the formation, and he knew everything, and that just comes with time. And it's the same thing with Matt. Once you've been around for so many years, you've been in a part of a couple different offenses, you understand how people coach. And I remember Musgrave was here for a while. You understand how he teaches it. It makes it easier for you to adapt to certain situations. And with Matt being around so many years, it makes it easier for him to adapt to certain playbooks or different ways of coaching.
And, Shock, is that contagious? When guys who, you know, have not been as long as Matt has been, is that contagious? They see him adapting to this new coaching staff, meeting with the coaches, saying some of their, you know, things they want to keep. Here's some things I feel that work, but I'm happy to listen to what you want to do. How contagious is that? What effect will that have, is getting this, you know, thing going sooner than later?
It's so contagious, because also Matt can be the voice for the other guys as well. Roddy, Julio, all those guys have certain routes. They have certain concepts that they like to run. He can be their voice as well, and they know if it comes from him, then it's probably going to stick around. And that makes them believe in him even more, so that makes it contagious for all the other guys around him to say, all right, we got a guy who's fighting for us, who wants to keep certain things intact that's going to help us be successful. And it's with any job or any higher position that guys know they have somebody fighting for them, they have somebody who is willing to go that extra yard for them, they're going to fight a little bit harder for him. And Matt's that type of guy for when you see him on the field taking all those hits. We saw him take a lot of hits this year, and each and every time he continued to get up. And the offensive lineman, you look at him like, geez, this guy just standing in the pocket, he's just taking licks, and then he continued to get up, when a lot of guys be like, hey, I'm finna tap out. You know, I'm out of here. But he's a guy who continues to get up, and you know he's going to fight for you. We've seen him be fiery. We've seen him get on guys. We see him, you know, tell guys to get off the field. I mean, we've seen that side of him that makes guys be contagious towards him. And you guys have seen it as well. I mean, I've seen how he interacts with you guys. It makes you want to be around him. Mm-hmm. And you're not even playing with him, but like you said, when you go shopping with him, I mean, you don't mind going and doing it. And sometimes I'm sure you guys are like, man, I got to go deal with this guy. I mean, it's just part of life. I mean, everybody has those people. You're like, oh, man, this guy.
None on the Falcons, shotgun.
But, you know, he's just one of those guys who really, really is a stand-up guy. And there's not a lot of guys like that.
That's awesome. And one last thing, that, and Jay, if you want to chime in on this too, is just what, you know, all that that you just talked about kind of leads up to, you know, the things we see in late in a game. And, you know, it was funny, before he was even a Falcon, you would see at Boston College, because my wife was a Virginia Tech fan, and consistently, it seemed like every year they played, he would come back and just, you know, rip Virginia Tech's heart out in the fourth quarter. It was fun to watch. You know, don't tell her that, but it was fun to watch. But, you know, and then it's continued for him to do that.
Yeah.
And I think everything you said, you know, from his day one, in all the film study, his leadership, that's really builds up to when it becomes Matty Ice.
Well, you know, it's the day one preparation that you put in. I talked about what we do on Monday, looking at first and second down, and then you move on to third down, you move on to red zone, you move on to situational stuff late in the game. And when the fourth quarter comes, it's second nature to you. You know, it's something that you're used to doing. Mm-hmm. And you hear a lot of coaches and players talk about, we did that situation on Thursday, you know, in our two-minute drill. We had a minute to go and one timeout. I mean, you put yourself in those situations off the field as well, watching film, so that when it's time, when the game comes, you're not panicking about it. It's just something I've done before. It makes you more relaxed. It makes you more comfortable. So when your quarterback is that way and he knows exactly what's going on, everybody else has to fall in line because there's a standard. And that's a part of what he does. And he doesn't just make sure that he's prepared. Because if he's just prepared and knows what he's going to do, the other 10 guys, they got to make sure, hey, they're on the same page as well. So that's why he includes all those guys as well. That's why we talked about sitting down with the receivers every Friday. We went over everything, over the whole entire script, the game plan, make sure everybody's on the same page. We had to draw up something versus a different coverage. If guys were a little iffy about, hey, should I come out of it versus this coverage, we could talk about it. So then the game, when it happened, we already been through this. You know, this is the second time around. So it's one of those things that a true leader makes everybody around him better.
Well, one of the things that has struck me in watching Matt over the last five seasons are those situations that you talk about, the last, you know, 2 minutes, last minute, that kind of stuff. The confidence that he displays coming into the huddle,
yeah,
and how he makes everybody else around him believe that they can do it. I mean, we've seen the Falcons in some perilous situations. Right. I mean, I remember 2010 against the 49ers, Matt throws that pick to Nate Clements. Mm. Roddy comes up with just an amazing strip and Harvey Dahl and everything and gets the ball back, and then Matt leads him down the field. And then 2012 against Carolina at the Georgia Dome and hitting that 59-yard pass. I mean, those were situations where your backs are completely against the wall. You have very little chance of turning this around, and Matt comes into the huddle and he's like, we are going to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no question in my mind. We are going to do this.
I think the fact that they've done it so many times, and when he comes to the huddle, say, hey, we can do it, guys actually believe it.
Yeah.
And guys trust that he's going to be where he's supposed to be and throw it where he's supposed to be, especially receivers. You got to trust that. In that position, you can't. There's no time for you to second guess anything. And you talk about the Carolina game. That was just, that's all trust. Because mm-hmm. if there's no trust, then he's going to say gets thrown it, and Roddy's not going to take off and make sure he goes and get it. And that's part of the part that people don't understand sometimes is these guys have to think this fast. As you're dropping back, 1, 2, 3, that ball has to be gone. You got guys barreling down on you. You got defensive backs who back there sitting back there just waiting for you to throw the football. But when you walk in that huddle and the quarterback has that confidence that says, we're going to get it done. He looks at every guy in the huddle and says, we're going to get it done regardless. Mm-hmm. So if you're not on, you might as well go off the field because I'm going to make sure we get it done. And that's what he's about. And I know Matt gets a lot of grief sometimes, but he's the guy you want running your franchise. I mean,
I was just about to ask that. Like, to sum this up before we get to break with Bosek, you know, should Falcon fans feel confident in their quarterback and leader?
I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I guess I'm a little biased because I've been around the guy. I've worked with him. I've sat in the meeting rooms with him. I've been on the field. I've been in the weight room with him. And you know, I've had people come to me and say, man, Matt looks so frail sometimes. He looks like, you know, he's just out serving his time. But I said, dude, you have no idea how hard this guy works in the weight room. I mean, there was competition every single day we had in the weight room with who can do side planks with kettlebells up in the air with the heaviest weight. I mean, bench pressing. I mean, it was everything. We competed in every single thing, and he worked tirelessly hard. I mean, you just can't look at a guy's body and say, okay, he doesn't work hard. When I tell you that Matt works hard, you got to believe me. I mean, I actually was in the weight room with him, and he puts everything he has into being the best quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. He's going to give you everything he has, and he's going to leave everything on the field.
By the way, Jay said he would like to challenge you in the side kettlebell.
Yeah, side kettlebell planks?
Yeah.
How about that? How about
next
that?
Week, we'll do that. That'll be great for the fans.
Let's get to break with Bosek. Mr. Brian, how are you today?
How's it going, guys?
Bosek.
Look at him. Look at him. All right, what you got for us?
All right, so I don't know if you guys ever heard about the change with the extra point.
Yes.
How people are proposing.
Yeah.
We do work in the league. We follow that stuff.
We heard.
Wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
How would you guys change the extra point? If you could change it in any way that you can, how would you change it?
What you got, Shai?
I don't really. People want to change it. I think you work so hard to get a touchdown and you get the, an extra point. I mean, I don't think I would change it that much. There's so much that goes into it. And, I know it seems kind of simple and like a gimme. And, I think it was 99% or 98% that, you make a little extra point. So I don't know how much I would change to it. Moving it back was, it gave a little bit of, uncertainty about if you're going to make it moving back 15 yards, and it adds a little suspense to it, but I don't know how much I'd change, man.
I've got three potential changes.
Oh, man.
One, the first one I saw on Twitter, I can't take credit for this one, but this was just a great idea. One is have the coach kick the extra point.
Get out of here.
Think about that. Wouldn't you like to see, like...
So the guy, can they rush the
Rex
coach
Ryan
too?
Out there kicking an
can
extra
you
point?
Rush the coach too?
Yeah, same situation. The coach just goes out.
So the coach put on pads too?
That might be the worst idea ever.
It is fantastic. It is hilarious. Number two, you have to kick the ball through the uprights before a live tiger mauls you. That'd be another one.
It's like and Naked
then,
Gun.
Who's controlling this tiger, man? Come on.
Well, you have tiger handlers for that. You have the league's going to have to set aside some money in the budget for some tiger handlers.
Oh, man.
Number three, I think both teams should get like a sniper, and they're up on the roof. And if they shoot the ball out of the air before it goes through the uprights, it's no good.
All right, I like that one. So you have like American sniper up on the
part of your scouting is to find like
so,
a really
so
good
these
sniper.
Like blanks or something because obviously they
no
miss,
like you got to shoot the football out
because if you miss the football
it's gonna maybe. You're gonna have to change some stadiums
okay
but it's I think it gotcha. Could I think it could take off.
I kind of like the crazy Colts one where if you go for two, you can attempt a 50-yard field goal
to get three
to get a third point.
That's
I mean, that could be kind of cool.
Or they have the Arena League goalposts.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's that made it a lot harder.
I mean, they brought him in for the Pro Bowl,
right?
And Vinatieri had a extremely difficult time with that.
I mean, even bring them in closer than that. I mean, bring them all the way in, like, the Arena League and just like...
Well, I want to take that a step further, and I want to say, you remember how the XFL used to handle their coin toss?
The kickoff, yeah.
Remember that?
What happened?
Yeah, that's not going to pass with the old concussion protocol.
You get two guys, and they run, like, I don't know if it's 10, 20 yards
like
together.
A scrum.
It's a scrum. Whoever gets the football wins.
Young rugby style?
Yeah, something like that.
It's probably not going to be in the old heads up football play 60
Listen,
initiative.
People will pick their heads up to watch the PATs with any of the suggestions I give. I guarantee.
Yeah, the sniper one's kind of funny. I like that. Maybe you put a paintball gun. If he hits the ball,
paintball. I mean, it's more fun with real bullets.
It's fun with
Let's bring real guns. What else you got, Bosa?
Back to reality. Final four. There's four teams left in the March Madness tournament.
Do we know how we did in our picks? I think I only have one in there.
Imagine, Iowa State and Iowa State got it in the morning.
I don't think any of you did very well.
I know I picked against Duke.
Yes, I did. I had.
You took all the one seeds, so you probably did do well.
Yes. I had everybody except Michigan State. Come on.
There you go.
Right. Let's see.
What do you guys have winning?
Man, I think that Wisconsin Kentucky.
That's going to be an awesome game.
That's must see TV, in my opinion. I think that's
I think I would like to see that one in the championship game.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be must-see TV for me. And Man, I don't like the – I'm always pulling for the underdog, so I'm going to pull for Wisconsin in that game and hope that they win it all. I like Frank the Tank. I think he's cool to watch with the
Kaminsky.
Inside out, you know?
The Christian Laettner 30 for 30 last night. I T-voted. It's finally, good, isn't it? Finally watched it, and after I watched it, I said, God, Duke, it's just – you can't help it, man. I mean, so it's – I think Duke and Kentucky is in the big game.
That's must-see TV, too.
That's must-see TV. And you just think Coach K, he always finds a way.
Yeah.
I am still on my self-imposed suspension from the NCAA tournament. Because Syracuse
So you can't even make a pick? You can't even make a pick.
I still have them winning the championship.
Yeah, well, Jim Boeheim is still at Dinosaur Barbecue eating.
I have not – I've maybe watched 3 minutes of the entire tournament.
Oh, man, it's been good.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been, but you know, I've got to stand with my team and – we're suspended, so I'm not.
So you're gonna stay with the Cuse, really?
Yeah.
You're all about the Cuse winning.
Yeah.
You got one in the women's, Chuck. You got one in the women's.
Oh man. You know, UConn, they're tough to beat. Notre Dame still in it?
Yeah.
Notre Dame, yeah. I know UConn and Notre Dame are pretty tough.
So. The Gamecocks are
Tough too, yeah. I saw the Gamecocks in it, but I got a buddy of mine who's a Gamecocks. I can't really go with the Gamecocks.
We got Gamecocks in office. We can't let them have any joy.
Oh, man. Anytime they win anything, he acts like every game is versus Georgia. So I can't even really, go for South Carolina right now.
So there you have it. Chalk will not pick a women's finals. All right, Bosak, you got a video of the week for us?
I do.
Oh, and I'm kind of excited about this one because our social media manager, Morgan Alverson, is in here.
Morgan's here.
Doing Twitter's the Periscope.
Oh. Guys, do not go crazy right now because Morgan's here.
She might like this video. Oh, look at this.
Should have known. That's a clown, Morgan. Yeah, that's a clown.
You can bring the Periscope viewers.
She doesn't even want to look at it. Oh, my God, what are you doing, buddy?
What the heck is this guy doing? See, this is not safe
right here.
To be fair, I didn't know Morgan was going to be in here.
Okay, so this is a good Samaritan here. He's
helping him out. He's saying, like, look, man.
The train tracks are not a good place to take a nap. Oh, I'm going to make you a balloon animal.
He's like, come on, keep your head up, clown. We can do this together.
I'm not entirely sure
now
what's...
I think we know what's going to happen.
Oh, man. He saved your life, and now he's about to... Smack you!
Oh, no!
That dude, his first 10 is pretty fast. You see how fast he got out of there? I'm not sure if you guys fast-forwarded that, but he was pretty fast.
That's good stuff, bro.
Saw that coming.
That's good stuff.
How would you react if that happened to you? Like, if
a random stranger did it?
Just, you were that guy that got the that whole situation happened to you. How would you?
I'm running him down.
Yeah,
I'm running him down.
You probably could.
I'm a non-violent guy, so I mean,
yeah.
But that instance,
I'll throw it out to anyone still watching this. If you have a good video, send it our way. Tweet it to Bosak Shock. Jay, any of us.
Man, I'm gonna be honest. They're probably just going to tweet it to Morgan just because they want to talk to Morgan. So it's probably
by the way,
happen.
Everyone.
They're not going to tweet us.
Morgan is handling the Periscope right now. So know that she is in this room. So our rating should still be up. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Morgan, you got to show them. They want to see you. You got to show them.
And also, I'm happy. No April Fool's shenanigans here. I didn't sit on a whoopee cushion for
both sex. I'm not going to lie. I really thought about an April Fool's joke for you guys, but.
What's the best April Fool's either one you've done or been on the receiving end?
No such thing.
No such thing?
There's no such thing as good April Fool's stuff.
Yeah, I know. Because sometimes you want to do an April Fool's joke and then you're like, I hope that doesn't come to fruition. So
right. We called my mom acting as we were the police and said that me and my brother were arrested.
See?
And she flipped like it did not. When we're like April Fool's, like she's like
she still didn't.
She's like crying, and we're like, oh, that did not go as planned. That did not go as planned.
That is terrible.
Oh, we were like 15. We thought
you guys didn't get all the laughs though, huh? Because she was so serious.
No, it was no. It was like I can't believe you just did that to me. We were like, but it's April Fool's. No, not funny. All right, Shock. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, everyone
welcome.
In the. Room, Morgan, Bosak, man on the couch, thank you very much. We will see you next week. Hey, Periscope, this is our favorite thing.
Periscope.
I'm going to the Periscope.
You're going to the Periscope. Oh.
Next week. Ba-ba!
Ready?
Boom!
Double trouble.
Nice.
And...